This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
A very good morning. It is 7:36 in the morning. I've got Jeff Howie, the market strategist for Singapore Exchange, on the line with me. Jeff, a very good morning to you. Singapore just released its December data for consumer prices yesterday. What is the data telling us?
Chuan, good morning. The data that was reported yesterday is very much in line with what MAS economists were saying a little over a month ago. And that is, I guess, firstly, that as Singapore's domestic demand strengthens, amid what we're seeing in an improving labour market, we see higher import and labour costs passed through consumer prices. And secondly, it has been expected that there will be some offset to these costs, of course, with greater market competition in all sorts of consumer segments. And that should help to cap the extent of the price increases. So what we saw was for the whole 2018 year, our key measure, the MAS core inflation, it came in right in the middle of the forecast range for 2018, which was 1.5 to 2%. And the inflation gauge came in at 1.7%. And it is forecast, I guess, next year to be around 1.5 to 2.5%. And for December itself, that core inflation measure, which excludes cost of accommodation and private road transport, it rose to 1.9% year on year in December, which was up still from 1.7% back in November. And that slight increase was primarily attributed to larger increases in both the costs of services and retail items. On the services front, services inflation, it increased 1.5% in December. That was up from 1.2% in November. And that was driven pretty much by stronger pickup in holiday expenses, airfares, etc. And then on the retail front, as opposed to the services front, the overall cost of retail items rose by to 1.7% year on year in December. That's quite a bit faster than the 1.1% increase in November. So retail items that saw that larger increases were the household durables, clothing and footwear and so forth. But interestingly, if I can just add, we did see a similar story in terms of the sector flows into the Singapore stock market. We did see more institutional capital flow into, I guess, the most relevant sector, and that is the consumer discretionary sector. When we looked into the end of 2018, the consumer discretionary sector was one of four sectors that saw net positive inflow back in November as well as December. And of those four sectors with the net positive inflow over both months, consumer discretionary did register the most net institutional inflow of around $80 million.
Jeff, the Singapore market has already enjoyed nearly a 5% rise in 3 weeks before falling recently after global growth concerns hit regional markets here. So how do you see the Singapore market trading in this current uncertainty?
Morning, Joyce. The current wave of uncertainty, it really is, the uncertainty is the trade tensions and, of course, decelerating growth. And I guess one thing that we don't have carrying into 2019 that we did have in 2018 was the expectation of a lot more tightening of financial conditions, which all these three themes, if you will, they very much began last year. And last year we saw our SDI decline around 6.5%, and that was still only around half the declines of the FTSE Asia Pacific Index, which closed around at a decline of 12%. But importantly, our market here is very highly diversified, and we have consistently seen diversity play out as a theme somewhat with all the different sector flows and performances before, especially in terms of global uncertainty and the macro headwinds that we're facing. But as we mentioned a fortnight ago, since the GFC, the STI has generated annualized total returns of around 9%. And if you just look at the 2019 year thus far, we are seeing that diversity theme very much play out amidst some of the uncertainty which has been picking up, I guess, in the last couple of weeks, particularly as decelerating growth has many high frequency indicators and as debates and so forth play out in the market. But aside from the financial sector, which has been recipient to the most institutional inflow over the past 3 weeks, We have seen different sectors lead the institutional fund inflow tally. We saw basic materials and real estate developers see the most inflow by institutions in the first week of the year. That switched and rotated to consumer discretionary and industrials in the second week, and then back to real estate developers again last week, as well as consumer staples.
Jeff, like Malaysia, Singapore's economy is a very globalised, export-driven, outward-facing economy. What is your sense of where markets will perform in 2019, given the externalities and the challenges therein?
Oh, I mean, yes, exactly. Both countries punch well above their weight when it comes to the trade value, the total value of imports coming into both our economies, the total amount of exports going out of the economy, particularly in the case of Singapore. If you look at Singapore's place in the global GDP pie, it's 0.4%. But when you look at our role in the total trade value of goods and services that are exported and imported across the world, where we increase our impact four times to around 1.7%. But I guess the big focus for the moment is earnings, and that will be for the remainder of this month and February, and particularly here. We have three quarters of our 30 SDI companies reporting their full 2018 year results. And I guess one clear theme that has played out for both Malaysia, Singapore, and of course Indonesia, Thailand, and Philippines as well, is the theme of value investing. And if you look at the FTSE Value Stocks ASEAN Index, and you look at its performance over the last 3 years, where we've seen all types of conditions, a bull market, a more bearish market, a flat market, you've got this FTSE Value Stocks ASEAN Index amongst the most strongest FTSE regional indices across the entire region over the last 3 years. Its total return is above 40% in US dollar terms over the 3 years, and it's outpaced close to 40 different regional indices that the FTSE Russell published, and of course FTSE Russell published both the KLCI and the STI. And with the uncertainty last year as well, that index was again, it was the second best performer of these 40 regional indices, and it only generated around a third of the declines of the FTSE Asia Pacific Index. So this index itself, it consists of 50 quality value stocks that go through a screen, which is provided by Value Partners, where they look at contrarian quality and valuation criteria. And those 50 stocks all come from the exchanges of Indonesia, Malaysia, Philippines, Thailand, and of course Singapore.
Well, Jeff, data showed that China's economy grew at the slowest pace in 30 years in the last quarter of 2018. Following that and the IMF downgrade for global growth, regional markets were in the red. So do you think investors are overreacting, and do you see any bright spots?
Look at China. It registered that GDP growth of 6.6% in 2018, and it was down from a revised 6.8% in 2017. So there's that deceleration growing into the forming itself into those growth numbers. For our region itself, those IMF numbers, of course, came out last week, and we're expected to see 0.1% deceleration across ASEAN, the five key ASEAN countries, and we saw that again last year and the year before as well. Well, you know, obviously higher growth would have been well received in China. The higher frequency data is clearly showing that deceleration in growth. So not too many surprises. But I will note that looking forward, those IMF downgrades were not as big as we have seen in past years, albeit they were built on some expectations of, you know, a gradual Brexit deal being reached in 2019, gradual transition made and so forth. So we could still see some a little bit more market swings, if you will, if that does not come to fruition. But look, clearly China, it's transitioning from a higher quality growth model to a higher quantity growth model, I should say, to a higher quality growth model, and increasing the range and the quality of exports is a key in order to lead greater GDP growth in China. From a policy perspective, we've seen a lot of focus of the State Council coming into this year with increased assistance, particularly through financial provisions to non-state-owned businesses and the SMEs, the small and medium-sized industries, and that looks to continue to be a key priority. And I will point out that it was actually Christmas Day, the China State Council, chaired by the Premier Li, did unveil a range of policies to support SME growth, which also included more tax cuts and not just more on the improved financial services, but also delved into property protection, market access, innovation support and so forth. So what we have seen, which is quite interesting for the last 3 weeks, is that there has been a much stronger correlation of the FTSE China 80 share small cap index with the gains of the much bigger benchmark, the FTSE China A50 index. And that that correlation is significant because looking past the past year, the past 3 years, the past 5 years, the FTSE China A50 index, the 50 biggest stocks in China, have well outperformed all the small cap stocks. But we've seen a more correlated move in tandem with the small cap stocks and the big cap stocks through the first 3 weeks of 2019, which is very different to 2015 and 2018.
Jeff, I'm afraid I've got to cut in at this point in time. Yeah. We're almost running out of time, but thank you ever so much for your comments and, as always, great help. That was Jeff Howie, market strategist for Singapore Exchange. We're going to be coming back with the business news after this, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.